Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. 300 episodes today. I'm very proud of that achievement, and I thank you for tuning in every time my guest piques your curiosity. So many of my guests are mid-age women embracing the journey. Today's guest is a force to be reckoned with. She's a role model for us, and she champions all of us to be and do. I'm thrilled that she's the person helping me mark my 300th episode. Today is my second chat with Patty. She's in my socials a lot, and her accomplishments since we last spoke 3 years ago are almost too many to count. Why is that impressive? Well, 35 years ago, Patty was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, MS. In the last 5 years, she's become fearless, redefining MS's mindset shift. And she's put herself on the international stage, speaking to and for anyone with a hidden illness. You'll hear us talk about Patty's new book. The link can be found on her page at our website. And I also encourage you to check out the resource page at boomwithabang.com. Patty's book and lots of other great stuff can be found there. Please follow Patty's recommendation that we smile and say hello to someone new each day. It's good for all of us. Listen now. My first two words are a grammatical error. Over the last 5 years of this podcast, there are only a handful of guests I've had back after our initial chat. I'm excited about today's guest. Patty was here in March of 2022. The link to that conversation is in the show notes, and I really recommend you go listen to it. Either right now or after we're finished talking, it doesn't really matter. Since then, she's shown up in my social media again and again. She is a powerhouse. Two-time TEDx speaker, three-time Speaker Slam contestant. She leads Vision Fest presenter, Heroes on Vitality guest, APCA speaker, Rise to Greater Heights Change Maker of the Year finalist, an MS Canada acknowledgement, NACA presenter, Champ I Am Summit speaker, D30 Disability Impact nominee, and that's just the last 29 months. Patty, now you know why I have to read my intro. Now, is this where I mention that Patty was diagnosed with MS about 35 years ago? I can't wait to catch up, so let's get started. Patty Bevilacqua, welcome back to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we too are embracing the journey.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for that great introduction. One word, unstoppable. It's been quite the journey, and I'm thoroughly loving everything I've done in the last couple of years. It's been very motivating, very heartwarming, and I feel like I've really found my place.
Now, you use the word unstoppable. Are you talking about the journey or yourself?
Both.
Yeah.
I have wrapped every ounce of my strength around the idea that no is not the end of the road. It's a detour to take a different path because none of us know what's around the corner. And sometimes it's better than what we initially thought we'd do. I was going to be a teacher till I retired at 57. And I was happy to do that. And when I couldn't, I was done. But now when I look back, all these things that I've experienced would never have happened if I would have stayed in teaching. So it's what's the word? Bittersweet. I was sad to leave, and I felt like I was being kicked out, not by my choice, but wow, it's been one hell of a ride.
Now, hopefully, anybody listening right now will, in fact, go back and listen to our first conversation 3 years ago. But do you mind just giving us a quick overview about how MS snuck into your life?
Sure. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a teacher. And in high school, my PE teacher became my role model for life. So I did everything right and got a job right out of teacher's college as a high school PE teacher and coach. That September, I started and I was on fire. And 5 months later, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And left that job 5 years later and still stayed teaching in the classroom. And it just wasn't where my heart was. And as I watched the students out on the field and the PE teacher out there living my dream job, it's like, I can't talk about the Magna Carta with passion. So I walked away, and it was hard. I've been very blessed that MS has been very kind to me. But that was a kicker my first year, and how do you give a PE teacher a neurological autoimmune disease that takes away their muscle strength and ability to move? What did I do wrong? I'm a failure. Why can't I get past this? And 10 years of, wandering aimlessly and then just realizing, you know what? It's mindset. I wouldn't, what would I say to somebody in my situation? And maybe I need to start saying it to myself. And it was a shift in mindset. And MS stopped being multiple sclerosis and started standing for mindset shift. And I haven't looked back.
You're stealing some of my lines here, but that's okay. tell us again about what is MS. And have there been any new developments since we spoke last?
So multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune disease that attacks the nervous system. Brain and spinal cord. It builds up plaque around the nerves so your impulses don't travel smoothly. So all my symptoms are on the right side of my body. And I will say to my leg, knee lift to take a step, but that message doesn't get there. And so I may trip or catch my foot on a ledge or something. And MS can manifest in multiple ways. There's a very slow progression. So I've had it 35 years, and the only thing I can't do is ride a two-wheel bike. But I've met people who are in a wheelchair in 6 months and passed away within 3 years. So it can be a very brutal disease. And for me, I'd say it took away the only thing I wanted. So for me, that was pretty brutal. No progress. A&W is a huge supporter of the MS Society, and Burgers to Beat MS has provided the MS Society with millions and millions of dollars for research. My neurologist out at UBC has office hours twice a day, and the rest of the time he's where he wants to be full time, and that's in his lab. The whole removing the blockages in the carotid artery, people spent hundreds of thousands of dollars traveling around the world because people were having great success with it, and the MS Society didn't jump on it, and that's because there was no merit in that. People were not having long-term effects. So no, nothing has really changed. Diagnostic tools have improved. There are more medications available to help with different symptoms. But overall, it's still as unpredictable and inconsistent as it was when I was diagnosed in 1990. And people are being diagnosed younger, which is very troublesome.
Now, Canada apparently, you said this before, and I did look it up on the MS website. It's got the highest rate of MS in the world, and 3 out of 4 of those people are women. Have they figured out what the connection is?
No. So the farther away you move from the equator, either north or south, the higher the incidence. Is it temperature? Is it environmental? Is it? I grew up in a mining town. My favorite cousin in the whole wide world lived on a ranch 60 kilometers away. And 4 years after I was diagnosed, she was diagnosed. So then it was, oh, it's in the family. It's in the family. Well, she's adopted. So then people are saying, oh, environmental, environmental. Well, she is on a ranch. They have free-range chickens. They have no hormone beef.
Well,
No.
and trying to draw correlations because of two people in close proximity compared to however many, is it millions of people in the world have been diagnosed? Yes. Although I shouldn't say that because who knows? Sometimes it is that one little tiny, tiny clue that blows open a theory.
Absolutely. I believe for so many of the illnesses that people around the world deal with, it's just that one little thing, that opens up a whole new world, and that's a breakthrough, and they're possible anywhere and everywhere, and nobody knows when and how and what. It's the
And
way.
citizen science has proven itself time and time again. So, who knows? Now, you began telling us that MS stands for mindset shift. So you stole my thunder there. But that was the last time we spoke, three and plus years ago. And then there was Fearless with MS. And now I've been seeing the Hidden Illness Advocate. Tell us about Patty's journey.
Yeah, it really has evolved, and the Hidden Illness Advocate came from my conversations and engaging moments with college students, and realizing that this whole notion that many of us walk around with an invisible backpack full of bricks that nobody knows our story, and people with hidden illnesses are in a unusual situation. I mean, do I look like I have MS, right? And so when the cop showed up on my doorstep saying someone at the pub phone my license plate in because I was drunk. And I'm just kind of going, holy moly, this is a whole new world. And Fearless with MS was led to that. And I think it's not about MS, it's about being fearless. And so I'm now at a place where I'm trying to bring the two together. So stay tuned for a new name and tagline because it's right around the corner. I just realized that our health is huge. It's who we are, it's what we can do and what we can't do, and it informs our decisions every day. And people with hidden challenges or hidden illnesses, I believe, need to learn they need a different playbook, and there isn't one. But if I can share my experiences that work for me, I'm not saying it'll work for you, and I'm not saying it's been easy. Have I wanted to quit? There's been moments, right? There's been moments. But I never know when something I say is going to resonate with somebody else. And when you see somebody start nodding, or they come up to you after a talk or a workshop and they say, "Oh my God, you were talking about me. I know you were talking about me." I mean, that's just everything, right? And so that backpack can be an illness, or it could be a broken marriage or relationship. It could be financial struggles, drug abuse. It's the gamut. But we don't walk in each other's shoes. So the discussion for me is more about sharing my experiences as a way for the masses to find something that they can use to make their day a little better.
Your group on Facebook is huge, and it is, I take it, primarily MS based at this point in time.
That's funny. So I'm just going to throw a number out there. If I had 400 friends on Facebook, 327 of them are former students. So when, and they are a huge part of who I am. And so a lot of them jumped on and became part of that group. And then through my work, most of them are with MS. So I kind of have two camps, my cheerleaders and the people I serve. And the path has been up, down, and around, and it also continues to evolve, right? And it's just about two things: my experience. And I'm a smart cookie. I will challenge things that people say. I will go to the research. I just want people to have the tools to make smart, wise, accurate decisions. And that's what I do in that group. A lot of it is story-based, and I find that I'm a storyteller, and I get a lot of great things come from that. And we all love the story, and so people tend to read the things I write because it's not ChatGPT created, and it's something that really happened to me or someone else. So.
Well, and I'm sure too, I guess I probably fall into the category of silent cheerleader, because I do not have, that I know of, any hidden illness. But because, as I mentioned in my intro, is like you show up in, I'm not involved very much in what maybe three comments in all the time I've known you. I'm not involved, actively involved, but you are constantly in my feed. And if you ever say I've been nominated for something, I mean, I'm jumping over there to give you a vote, trust me. But by the same token, as someone who's not involved, I can think of two different people that I have met, one being a young woman, probably in her late 20s, who was diagnosed. It shook her to her core, and it was so difficult for her to tell me about it. But the first thing I said is, hey, Facebook, you've got to go over and join this group, whether it's for support, for information, for just knowing there's a community of people like you out there. It's just so valuable to have a group like yours out there. Now, where I was also going to go with that, or the comment about your group is, if you are now broadening into hidden illness, are you going to open up that group, or will it still primarily be MS, or?
No, it's going to be open to people who live with hidden illnesses and caregivers of people. You know, when I was learning all about this, it was all about like, share, and comment, right? And I was getting kind of down because, you know, like, why does somebody's post go viral and mine doesn't? And then, you know, talking with a couple of people outside of the group, you know, I don't like share a comment, but I read everything you write. I can't ask for anything more, you know. And this is not my paying job. I don't have a business. I just love this. So I'm not bent on, you know, creating paid ads or, you know, getting 10,000 members so I can then get Facebook to push me, you know, to a whole different audience. It's never been about that for me. And, you know, I've had exchanges with people who say, oh, you know, you have the ability to really grow this to six figures. Well, if I was 30, you know, but I'm at the other end of my life now, and I'm just enjoying the ride. And I get to determine my schedule, and I get to determine how much I want to put in. And I like that. I'm in a really, really good place. And I don't have any expectations other than to be the best in the whole wide world. Right? That's my goal, right? I just want to be the best.
And you're well on your way.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, dear. Okay, so just let's review quickly before we move on. You started with MS. Now, in terms of hidden illness, I guess I tended to think of things like maybe like myasthenia gravis, or I don't even know. Oh, go over again. I would never have thought about some of the things that you mentioned. So can you go over some of the hidden illnesses that we may not think about?
Yeah. So, you know, autoimmune diseases, eating disorders, alcohol and substance abuse, financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, trouble with the law, self-image problems. I mean, it's just, you know, I really like that analogy. You know, we are all walking around with an invisible backpack. Some people's backpacks are way heavier than others. And, you know, I just feel compelled to let people know that, you know, the end of the road, when you meet a no or a obstacle, your life's not over. You know, open your eyes and follow a different path. I mean, would I ever consider myself to be an author? I never. I mean, I barely made it through English 100 at UBC, right? I mean, I've done things that I just would never have imagined or even thought about, wanted. I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to be a competitive speaker or speak at competitions, but not only do I want it, I want to win the damn thing, right? So you know, everybody has a path, and I just want everyone who hears my words to realize that no is not the end of the road. You know, losing your keys in the car is anxiety boosting. You know, I go nuts when I can't find my keys. I go nuts. But when I look around and I find $20 that I didn't even know I dropped, it's like, oh, holy, I found something I wasn't even looking for. And that's the seed I want to plant. Never think you're done. Is it easy? No. Is it painful? Could be. Can it be challenging? Yes. Do you feel alone? Absolutely. But you know what? You're not over. You know, it's not over.
I will add too that I think so many of us know someone who has that backpack, but is quite happy to just dump it out anywhere and everywhere. And so we never want to be that person. But to be in a group where you don't have to talk until you want to, or if you want to, and just be accepted that if you're there, there's a reason, is so valuable.
Yeah, sometimes, quick story, I'm in the grocery store and I'm trying to pick ripe tomatoes and I have no feeling in my hands. And this lady came up to me and she said, "You have MS, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." "How did you know?" She says, "Feels like you're wearing a pair of garden gloves, doesn't it?" You know what? That was all she had to say. Because now, when I share that story with you, you've probably at one time in your life wore a pair of garden gloves. Try and thread a needle wearing a pair of garden gloves, right? It's very difficult, but that is exactly how my hands feel. Now, since we last talked, I amputated my thumb on a chop saw. Didn't even know what happened because I have no feeling in my hands. It didn't bleed because it was so traumatic that the arteries just went. And Paul tells people she has not missed a beat, other than having a harder time tying her shoes. She hasn't missed a beat. There's no pain. She's good. So I tell people two things. One, my dog wasn't outside because she probably would have ate it. And when somebody says they couldn't reattach it, no, because it was below the joint. So where is it now? I use it as a bookmarker. And they just look at me like, "Oh my God. Oh my God. Really?" And I'm like, and I can do one heck of a joke, right? I can separate my thumb and mine. And I mean, it's just the way it is, right?
The one thing I will ask you not to do. When my youngest daughter was about 3, we were out in a remote park having a picnic, and this lovely, lovely older man came up, and you could tell he just loved children, and my 3 were all very close in age. But he chose my youngest, and he said, "May I shake your hand?" And of course, the little 3-year-old, she just reached out, and when she took her hand, he shook her hand, and when he took his hand away, he went, "What did you do? You stole my finger." Because he had had a finger amputated, and this poor little 3-year-old is just eyes wide open. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know whether to cry or run away or what. So don't do that to a little person. Although it was certainly funny at the time. And obviously, I think it's funny now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's I have a miss. It was my dad's chop saw, and after it happened, he kicked my ass in from heaven. Didn't I teach you? And it was just stupid. You know, there was a piece of wood that I went to push off. The blade was still going, and it was, I mean, it was so quick. I really now understand when people say it happened so fast. Because it was this, and I had no idea.
Yeah, similar thing happened to my brother with a table saw. So, yeah.
So now I'm
Well,
rather to raking leaves. I'd rather have a root canal. I hate raking leaves. But I can't touch any machinery anymore. I'm done.
that's got to be a heartbreak, speaking from my angle of it. So, dear. I just want to go back to the grocery store for a minute with your tomatoes. It must have also been amazing for you to be seen. You know, you weren't somebody person handling, manhandling the tomatoes. This woman realized what was going on.
Absolutely. And I look for other examples like that to share with people because how it was so powerful for me because that's exactly what it felt like. And she saw me and she said something that resonated so deeply with me. I probably was very emotional because that connection was so, which was a short connection, and it was just so strong. I mean, it was.
Well, and even your story about the police showing up at your door because you had been driving impaired. I can't remember whether it was a federal MP or a local MLA who had some sort of neurological thing, and he was teased, he was, mocked in, whether it's the legislature or the parliament, I don't know, I can't remember, because his speech was broken and labored, and he had been accused numerous times of showing up drunk and things like that. And it wasn't. He was just the recipient of a hidden illness that manifested. So, yeah.
And I live in a small community, and lots of people know me. I know a lot of people in this community. Had I truly believe it was somebody who maybe stopped into the pub for dinner or somebody who didn't know my story, and I promote this all over everywhere I go, I ask the question. Don't judge. Don't judge. And even if this person would have said, you are drunk and shouldn't be driving, I'd rather deal with that. I mean, I felt bad for the police officer when he said, why are you walking like that? When I said I had MS, he just wanted to crawl away, and when he told me what happened, I said, I hope you have a phone number and name of whoever called in the complaint because you need to make this right. Because I'm not the first and I'm not the last.
Okay, happier topics. You co-authored Absolute Will. That was the first one. You co-authored Absolute Vision. And now you have MS Doesn't Define Me, the biography of a polymath. How does it feel to have your own book? Now, is that actually out or is it just ready to hit the
It's
airwaves?
on pre-order right now. It's going to be launched Canada today.
Oh, good.
And it's I'm working with a team of people who they just blow my socks off every time we get together and talk about stuff. We started this whole process with a series of interviews, and they asked a few questions, and I just told my story. And we're ending every chapter with insights and activities for people, suggestions to think about, some tools, whatever. I just feel my story is a vehicle to help other people thrive. Thrive in life. I didn't know what a polymath was, and when they suggested, like, what? And I guess I am. I am. My
I
father,
looked it up.
and my dad would say, well, jack of all trades, but right.
You go. Except one. Now.
So I'm thrilled. And on my website, it's available as a electronic version, paperback, hardcover, and we're getting ready to do the audiobook as well.
Wow, okay. And will it be available just on your website or will it go the usual route?
Yeah, it'll be in bookstores. It will be on Amazon.
Okay. I have just launched recently a resource page on my website, and a number of my guests have written excellent books. And so there's links there too. So up the road, if somebody's coming back to listen to this, then they know they'll be able to get a quick link, and that's easy. So,
I want to just throw, and I hope it's okay, but
absolutely.
Christine Sinclair, Canada's soccer player sweetheart, is a spokesperson for Burgers to Beat MS and the MS Society through A&W. And I am working my butt off to connect with her, and I haven't been able to. And so if anybody out there has a line to Christine Sinclair, can you please connect the two of us?
I can't imagine that Christine Sinclair wouldn't be listening to my podcast.
Well, you know, I thought for sure, and I her mom has MS, and she's right. So if anybody out there, woo-hoo.
Okay, and everybody that's listening, go to your social media and put that little thing out. Calling Christine Sinclair. Okay, I saw somewhere, or probably several times, because I put it in my notes, be your own hero.
Be your own hero. You know, the most important relationship you'll have in your life is the one that you have with yourself. And pom-poms don't just come on Amazon or found in schools. We have these two silent pom-poms, and it doesn't matter how small or big or significant. You know what? Celebrate yourself. Celebrate your wins because you're a hero. You are different than every single other person that you meet that day. Be a hero to yourself, and that will. And encourage other people to be their own hero as well. Could you imagine what our world would be like if we all saw ourselves as heroes? You know, and it goes beyond your job, it goes beyond your family orientation. Like, do you have kids? Are you married or whatever? It goes beyond everything because there's no right or wrong way to do this. It's so personal, but nobody ever talked to me ever about being my own hero. But you know what? Once I started realizing the little and the big things that I accomplish every day, or the days where I accomplish absolutely nothing, I can still find something to celebrate. And you're my hero, Patty. Right? You're my hero today. And so after the book, I'm gonna buy a whole whack of t-shirts and make T-shirt stand out that say, be your own hero.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, and just on that whole hero note, we're so used to, war heroes, Olympic champions, but like the person next door might be doing something impactful in a very small way. And then, yeah, bring it home in terms of what have you figured out for yourself? What have you accomplished for yourself? Those apparently small, or those seemingly small wins are huge in our own lives, and we've got to, yeah, put our hands up in the air and go, yes, I did it.
And it was a real shift for me. I worked with some amazing teachers, and they talked to their teams about, don't be arrogant, don't celebrate. Well, Arrogance is one thing. Celebrating your wins and being your own hero is a completely different page. And growing up Catholic Italian, I mean, we didn't, kids were to be seen and not heard. And my brother and I joke around that, it wasn't until we were 50 that we're allowed to sit at the adult table and actually participate in the discussion, right? And to learn that for me was significant. I didn't have to share it with anybody. I shared it with myself, and that was very impactful for me. I shared it with myself. I don't have to tell anybody else.
Well, and as you were talking, what's going around in my head, and I'm not going to put the right words to it, but you talk about hidden illness, but it's like the hidden hero. The hero can remain hidden as long as you can see her or him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was teaching at a college, and if the college was in the US, and PE is just a subject, it's all about coaching. So PE teachers are called coach. So I brought this Canadian perspective down, and the kids ate it up. So as I was leaving, I said to them, a little patty will be on your shoulder every day that you're teaching kids, and don't ever forget that you have the opportunity to change somebody's life every day, starting with your own, right? So I use that. We all have a little mini me here, right? And she's our number one cheerleader, or he's your number one cheerleader. And love it, enjoy it, celebrate it. And I believe my outlook on life significantly changed when I got rid of the illness story, which took a long time, and said, you know what? I'm going to move forward. I don't know how fast or how many steps I can do it in a day, but I'm looking this direction. And this little girl on my shoulder said, woohoo! You go, girl. And so that's the way it is. That's the way
And
it
I
is.
will add there that it's one thing to have that little person on your shoulder. Listen to them. When they say, woohoo, you go, girl, listen to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was learned. I had to learn that. And I had to separate this whole idea of arrogance. Huh, you know what? I'm not arrogant. But my successes, I can feel completely super excited and happy and congratulate myself. And when I do something unexpected and it works out for me, I give myself the silent nod, and that's a great feeling, right? Because at the end of the day, it's me. It's about me, and it's about you, and it should be. No, it should be. Do you have other responsibilities, kids, elderly parents, whatever, a friend, whatever, But you live inside here, so you better, treat this inside person very well because they're going to be around for a long time.
That's
And
right.
heroes do great things, whether you see it or you don't. Heroes serve our society. Yeah.
You say so many things that I just want to leave that pregnant pause and let it sink in. Now, last time we spoke, you explained why people with disabilities will change the world. Update us on that.
We have a different conversation going, internally and externally, and I keep going back to, I say sometimes if somebody is not willing to walk in your shoes, don't let them tell you how to tie their shoelaces. And people with disabilities have the potential to create a whole new dialogue. Some of it is hard to listen to, and some people will never share, and that's okay. But we bring a whole different conversation to the world, and it's about time that we were heard on multiple levels. Individually, community, government, workplace. I mean, I'm still getting messages from people. I am very scared to tell my boss, and so I show up every day and I feel like crap, but I don't know what to do, because I'm going to lose my job. And that is just so wrong. And if we had the discussion, or at least maybe not us personally, but more of a out there conversation, things would change. And I just see it as a whole new addition to the way we live our lives. I mean, none of us are 100% perfect. People with disabilities and hidden challenges bring a unique perspective, right? I mean, I'm a bit out there, and my uncle said, I love coming to visit when you're at your dad's because I never know what you're going to say next, right? And I love that. And that was probably one of my strengths in teaching. Kids love coming to my class because they never ever knew who was going to show up and what we're going to do that day. So if I can take a little bit of that and add it to the conversation, think about the millions of people who live with hidden illnesses or illnesses in general, what that can do. So, I think change is good, and we bring a whole new volume to the encyclopedia, and it's important stuff because people with or without, there's lots of stuff to appreciate and learn from each other.
I was just going to say that those of us who think we don't or don't have, I'm using air quotes here, disability, we need to stop thinking about the dis and just keep on looking for the ability in everyone. So even someone who appears to be, whether it's non-responsive or unable, disable, whatever. Let's look at the ability and embrace that. And I say actively look for it.
In my TEDx, I said, we see people all day, smile and say hi, And I remember going to Dairy Queen, and a couple in town, they have a business and they have a developmentally and physically disabled son who was eating, his mom was helping him eat an ice cream. And I sat down beside the son and I turned the chair around to face me. And I talked to him. And mom and dad were like, he can't answer you. Oh yeah, he can. I can feel it. I know, and it was my time with him. I wasn't gonna talk to him through his mom. Can you let him know? What does he think about this? He was my focus. And it doesn't matter who that person is. Everyone is unique, everyone is special, and everyone deserves to be heard and seen and listened to. And people with disabilities have had a tough go and continue to have a tough go. And that, you're right, disability, let's get rid of the dis and let's look at all the abilities in all walk of life. Right? Gender, religion, culture,
All of the above.
all of the above. Yeah. So I just believe people with disabilities bring a unique conversation to the table.
And
Yeah.
we are going to listen, aren't we, listeners? Okay, put in your commercial plug now because it's one of my favorite, well, it's probably my favorite fast food place, but it's one of my go-to places at all times. A&W. You've mentioned them a few times, but they support you. Is it every August?
It is May.
Oh, May. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do believe so.
No, it, yeah, whatever. I was looking at
Yeah,
posts and things
May
like that, but.
is MS month, and I think
Oh,
Burger
okay.
Eat MS is in May, and $2 from every teen burger goes to the MS Society. And so I put it out there all over the place, and I encourage people to take a picture of them eating a teen burger and send it to me. And my students just come out in full force, and yeah, it's a, I mean, who doesn't like a teen burger, right? And a root beer.
Okay, I'll be honest. I'm going to pull the bacon out of it, but I'll still eat it.
Okay.
I'll eat the rest of it.
Oh, and thank you to everyone who does that, because as we know, fundraising is not easy in the year 2025. And so if you can add something to that and enjoy a nice meal with friends, woohoo.
That's right. And they have drive-throughs for anybody that's on the run.
Sad, those girls on roller skates.
Oh, wasn't that fun? Yeah. And those little clip-on things that clipped onto your car or the window?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, we spoke 3 years ago, and I asked you what was on the agenda for the next 5 years. I listened to your answer this morning. And you've fulfilled everything you said at that time. So you're ahead of the curve here. Except for maybe the Nobel Peace Prize for Women part. I'm not sure you've got that yet. Well, she has to think about whether she got a Nobel Peace Prize or not.
You know what? My email is so crazy. Maybe it's in there.
Oh, okay.
So I placed second in the Speaker Slam Power of No competition, and I'm going in November back to Toronto, and I'm gonna win it. And that's my focus right now. The book is easy because it's paper, pencil, computer work. It's not, writing a speech or anything. I go to Calgary in August because I was nominated for Changemaker of the Year Award. And I just got an email the other day, maybe yesterday. They've invited me to speak at the event. So I'm going to speak there as well. I am just loving every opportunity that falls in my lap. And plug for me, if anybody out there is looking for an amazing, beautiful, bright, lovely lady to speak at their event.
Well, I was thinking that, maybe Christine Sinclair is looking for a keynote speaker for something that she's planning.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
There we go. We're going to do this. We're going to get Christine Sinclair on the radar or get you on her radar, something like that.
Great. My 5-minute speech at Speaker Slam was called Take the Pen. And it had to be story based, and it had to be inspirational. And at the end I say, no didn't end my story. It gave me a pen to write a new one. And so now I'm handing the pen to you. Write it boldly, write it beautifully, because no doesn't just change your path, it shapes who you're becoming. And I never really, that really didn't hit me until after I watched my speech. And that's everything for me. People can write their own story and see no's as detour signs to become something better or find something unexpected. That is everything. That is everything.
part of me is thinking that if more people got a no, we might get accomplished some even more amazing things in the world.
Absolutely. As I said, I don't know if it was prior to this or during this, but I was happy to be a teacher until I was 58, and I was excited to do that and coach. Oh my God. And now when I look, wow. And all the people I've met and all the people who have touched my arm and said, thank you. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. You've earned it, that's for sure. Okay, what haven't I asked you? Two questions per perhaps. What haven't I asked you that you want people with MS to know? And what do you say to that person who might jump to conclusions about someone whose moves aren't as smooth as theirs?
So say one again.
The first one is to people living with MS that haven't been touched by Patty Bevilacqua yet.
Stop seeing MS as multiple sclerosis and start seeing it as mindset shift, because it's a lot easier and life is way more enjoyable to move forward than it is to live in the past and what if, what if, what if, what if. Move forward, think positively, be optimistic, embrace the journey. I tell people, before MS, I was a good person and I liked who I was. Today, I am a great person and I love who I am, because I live with MS. Take that to the bank, people. You are amazing. You may not feel it, but it's in there. And so take some time to get to know you and start small. Celebrate that little win and turn your no's into yeses. And if you need a cheerleader, I'm your girl. What would I say to somebody who might be judging somebody else? None of us know what the path ahead is going to look like. How would you feel if somebody judged you based on something you said or did? And that's just that's even a really hard thing to get people to understand. But you know what? I guess I would say, just take a moment. Take a moment. Smile and say hello. Smile and say hello, and you might learn something, right? Smile and say hello. That's all it starts with. When you smile at someone, there's a really good chance they're going to smile back. If you walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, why are you spitting all the time? Why?" Yeah. But when you walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, can I help you with that door? Or would you mind if I sat down beside you for a few minutes?" The best things that have happened to me in my entire life have been those moments where it's been spontaneous and no agenda. The greatest things have happened. When I was at Speaker Slam, they welcomed three people who put their name in a jar to speak for 2 minutes. This guy blew my socks off, and I'm going to do what he said. For one entire year, he met one stranger a day, and he kept a journal. First name, age, what they do, their message to the world. He's got 365 entries. January 1st, I'm going to start that. I'm going to meet a stranger a day. Paul said we're going to have to move communities because he doesn't think there are any strangers in this town who don't know me. But Wow. Meet a stranger a day and forget the journal. Meet a stranger a day. This guy's brilliant. I love the.
I'm just going to add in there too that it's happened to me more than once where you've seen someone unhoused on the street, maybe asking for money, maybe not. And I've said hello and smiled, and they've stopped me just to say thank you for the smile. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like a smile costs us nothing. And if it can make such a big difference in a person's life, they have to stop you and say thank you, like really heartfelt thank you.
But we're all beings, and we don't know the other person's story. We have neither
Exactly.
one. And so to make a judge call, oh, they want money for drugs or whatever, baloney. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. And if you're not going to stop and say hello, at least smile and give them something to celebrate themselves,
Yeah, I could share a few more stories, but we'll move on. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh my God. So Instagram is fearless with MS. Patty Bevilacqua on Facebook, and that's my website. And I'm sorry, people, that's an ugly last name.
That's okay. It's in the show notes.
Here we go. Yeah, through you.
Patty Bevilacqua.com. Come on, you got the website. You're on
And
Substack.
I am. It's Fearless with MS. So it's either my name or Fearless with MS. And Instagram is a great, great connector. Yeah. And if you are ever passing through Grand Forks and you want to have a chat or meet for coffee or just have someone smile and say hello, I'm not in the book as Bevilacqua because they didn't have enough space to write that last name. But if you
Well,
ask, find me.
if I will suggest that nobody does that until January 1st, because you need strangers after January 1st.
You know what? You have now been promoted to head cheerleader.
I at the top of your Christmas card list?
You are, absolutely.
Oh, dear. I was trying to raise. Do you still use that? Because last time we, yeah.
It's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah, for sure. You are now
Okay, I always ask people a personal question before we close. I'm really nervous about asking you this one, but can I ask it anyways?
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen pictures of Bella. What is Trooper still here?
Man. So Trooper was our yellow lab. He was my service dog, and we had to put him down 3 years ago. Bella is still with us. She just turned 13. Bella and Trooper had two litters, and through all three colors. Majority of them went to favorite students who were raising young families of their own. And we get updates every now and then. A day doesn't go by that I don't.
Sorry, as I say, I just it
No,
was.
the vet gave me a poem and it said, "When you start my day, when you start your morning without me." And I took that because I don't. I start every day with him. So thank you for saying that because people who love their pets, whatever that pet is, they're significant and they have a purpose in our lives. And, you knew me better than anybody, and there'll never be another trooper. But I am a better person because he was.
Well, thank you for answering that. It was, as I
Yeah,
say, I
and
just.
thank you. No, thank you for asking. This is the emotional Italian coming out of me.
Okay. I'm sitting here, my eyes are all welled up too. It's like, okay, I gotta.
That's the last tidbit that I will share with you is, you know what? You have every right. Everybody out there, you have every right to feel and express your emotions. Don't ever, ever, ever feel like you can't.
Okay. Your website link is in the show notes. All of those links are on your page at our website. I don't know if I was doing that in the early days. But yeah, everything's going to be there. So people, you don't have to figure out how to spell Bevilacqua.
And
Listeners, yes.
if you connect me to Christine Sinclair, you're at the top of my Christmas card list.
Okay, folks, don't do that because that's I want to stay at the top of her Christmas card list. Okay, listeners, what are your thoughts after listening to Patty? Do you have a hidden illness? Perhaps a loved one does. Please share your thoughts with us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Maybe there was a question I didn't ask, Patty. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. We've used the term hidden illness several times during this conversation. The more people we can educate about any hidden illness, the better we all will be. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button and help us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Patty Bevilacqua, thank you for coming back today and catching us up on recent developments, both with multiple sclerosis and Fearless with MS. I'll finish as I started. You are a powerhouse.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of week.
I will, you as well.